Ancient texts state that our bodies were specifically made to contain what they call the spirit or the essence of God. Science has discovered specific genes that have undergone the mysterious process that set us apart from all other life. Our bodies, science tells us, have changed very little in the last 160,000 years, and the difference that sets us apart from all other life, the difference that sets us apart from all other life is the same difference that empowers us to become better people and create a better world. In 1936, student Phyllis Wright asked Albert Einstein if scientists pray. And his answer to her, I feel like it was so honest and so direct. What he said was simply this. He said, "Everyone who's seriously involved in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe." So once again, Einstein is saying in the language of his time and his understanding, he said, there's something out there. There's something that holds everything together. He says, there is a spirit manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit, he goes on to say, vastly superior to that of man. Well, it's the way we use the power of our spirit, that mysterious force within us, supported by the message in the cells that tell us that power is there. That's what sets us apart from all other life. So what does that mean? How do we use it in our lives? The very beginning of this program, I shared some statistics with you, statistics that were difficult for me to see when I was writing the book, difficult to share sometimes in front of a live audience. Those statistics say to us that you and I survived the 20th century, the single most murderous century in all of recorded human history, according to historian Eric Hobsbawm in his book War and Peace in the 20th Century. Perhaps more than ever today, the way we see ourselves, our relationship to one another and our world takes on a greater significance than at any time in our history. And here's the reason why. Here's why. Between 1993 and the year 2000, Western scientists documented the existence of a field of intelligent energy that connects all of creation. How many times have you felt that maybe the things that happen in one part of the world really do have an effect on what's happening in other parts of the world on the one hand? And on the other hand, how many times have you felt as you sit and watch the 6 o'clock news that all of the prayers, all the meditations, and all the good things we do in our lives go unnoticed to the world at large? It's easy to feel that way when we see some of the frightening events unfolding in our world today. Well, almost universally, ancient texts and traditions across religious and spiritual lines have always said to us that there is something out there, that we are, in fact, connected. We're related to this field of energy. Then what we do in one part of the world does, in fact, affect other parts of the world. What we feel in our bodies, what we think, what we feel in our hearts, our thoughts, feelings, emotions, beliefs, perceptions, they have an effect on our world. One of the reasons that Western science has tended to discount the existence of this field, up until these discoveries, 1993 anyway, was because of an experiment that was done in 1887, over 100 years ago. In the late 1800s, there was this tremendous spiritual revolution that was sweeping the world, and there were two schools of thought, much as there are today, suggesting, on the one hand, that maybe we are, in fact, all connected through some essence that we can't quite see, we can't quite detect. And yet this essence carries the effects of what we do inside of our bodies into the world around us. And on the other hand, there were scientists that said, that field isn't there. If it were there, we should be able to detect it through our equipment and through our experiments. Well, in 1887, to settle this question once and for all, a very famous experiment was conducted. It is known as the Michelson-Morley experiment, 1887. And at that time, the essence connecting all of creation was given a name. It was called the ether presence. The experiment was a good experiment. The way the results were interpreted, however, have led us down a path for over 100 years that make us believe that we are separate from one another, from the events of our lives and the events of our world. Let me share that experiment with you, the equivalent. If a group of us were to go into the parking lot of a building or a hotel somewhere and moisten our index fingers and hold it above our heads, and in that moment we felt no wind against our finger, and from that concluded that no air exists around us. That is the equivalent of the Michelson-Morley experiment. A device was built to detect the ether as it moves through creation. And because that movement wasn't detected, the conclusion was it doesn't exist. So from 1887 until very recently, late in the 20th century, all of our science, as good as it is and as well as it works, is been based upon the principle that this essence, this substance, does not exist, and that what happens in one place in the world has very little effect on what happens in other places of the world. All that began changing in 1993. Between 93 and 2000, Western scientists documented the existence of this field of intelligent energy. It is now recognized as a conduit. It is literally the conduit that carries what we create inside of our bodies into the world around our bodies. If you've ever wondered why or how your prayers and your meditations could possibly have any effect on loved ones in another location, this information, this is the key that helps you to understand, helps all of us to understand why our feelings about ourselves are so important. This field of energy carries our feelings of unity or the feelings of separateness regarding ourselves and one another into the world around us. The experiments suggest that this newly recognized form of energy that connects all of creation, if you're like me, you're a very visual person, so if you want to think about what this field might look like, the experiments suggest it appears to be a tightly woven web that makes up what is called the fabric underlying all of creation. Everywhere that we look, this field exists. Whether you're looking at the old models of an atom, where you see a nucleus in the center and that first electron orbiting, and we think it's empty space in between, it's not empty. The field is there. Or if you're looking into the vastness of deep space on a beautiful starry night, and you think that space is empty between one star and another, it's not. There's something there. This field is described as being everywhere all the time, as being a field that's been here from the very beginning, the time that Western physicists now call the Big Bang. And this is where it gets really, really interesting. The field is described as having an intelligence. It's an intelligent field that responds to human emotion. Now think about what's being said here. When we go into the ancient text, if you're describing a presence or a force of something that's everywhere all the time, it's been here from the very beginning, and it has an intelligence and it responds to what we feel in our bodies, except for the name, what does that field sound like? Well, it sounds very similar to the way the presence of God is described almost universally across many, many different traditions.